Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Who's hungry for the Word of God? You know, there's something about bringing expectation according to your faith, be it unto you. It's not about me delivering a great word. It's about your hunger. And you could have a donkey up here, which sometimes I think I am at times. And you can receive something life transforming from God, because it's not about man's voice. Come on, somebody. But it's about what Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. And we're going to read a text out of Isaiah chapter 30. And it sounds quite sobering, these two verses, but come with me. I really feel there's a prophetic power in this sermon today, because I just feel like the Lord wants to get personal with us. Is that okay? Isaiah 30 verse 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel or comfort, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." This morning, I want to speak to you on this thought. Don't trust in shadows. Don't trust in shadows. Can we give the musos a big hand? Thank you so much, worship team. Wonderful. I need to do a deal with you guys this morning, 11 a.m. You are not to get quiet on me, okay? If you feel the Holy Spirit convicting you, don't get quiet. Go, just go, amen, amen. Even if it's like a pushed out amen, just say amen anyway. Because when we agree verbally, something shifts in the spirit for us, amen? So I want to give you some context of Isaiah chapter 30. Here is God having a conversation with the nation of Israel. But the context of this is found in 2 Kings 19, 18 and 19. You also see in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, thereabouts, about a king by the name of King Hezekiah. We get ourselves around the 8th century BC, and God's people are split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom is ruled by a king called Hoshea, the southern kingdom by this King Hezekiah that we're going to be talking about today. As it happens, there was a rival or neighboring nation called the Assyrians or Assyria that were very bloodthirsty. They were very pagan. They wanted to wipe out God's people. And they started to attack the northern kingdom of King Hoshea. And Hoshea tries to do his best to shore up his army by asking for an alliance with the Egyptians. He goes to petitions Pharaoh, say, "Hey, can I have your horses, chariots, some of your soldiers to just back me in this battle?" 7 years of that, not successful. King Hezekiah sees what Hoshea has done and thinks to himself, "Well, it was kind of a weak alliance. I think I need to go back again to Egypt and ask for a stronger level of support as our only way, really, of being able to defeat the Assyrians." And so here is essentially what got a good man in trouble. The Bible calls Hezekiah a good king. He was a godly leader. But in this account here in Isaiah chapter 30, we see God chastising this apparently good man or this good leader. But I think what got a good man in trouble here is that when the attacks came, Hezekiah put his trust in the strength of Egypt and not in the Lord God Almighty. God calls the strength of Egypt a shadow. It's actually a learning from here that when the pressure comes, sometimes even the best Christians, even good godly people, can resort to putting their trust in the shadow of man-made help, man-made solutions, rather than God-breathed, God-inspired answers. Sometimes when we're under attack, it's easy for us to reach for what we can see rather than cry out to a God we cannot see. Come on, somebody. So the Bible's clear that when we walk out our Christian faith, God considers everything else, all the other options of where we turn to in our time of trouble, as a shadow. So let me ask you today, when the pressure comes, when you're under attack, is your default to run to the shadow of a man-made solution, or is it to hit your knees and ask God for divine help? Come on. When someone has a go at you, when they attack your character, is your default to run to the shadow of fighting back or biting back in your own strength, especially online, Facebook? Or are you crying out to God for protection? Come on. When the heat is on, do you trust in shadows or do you trust in God? When you're confused, do you run to the shadow of ChatGPT and Google, or do you run to the Word of God? I'm not judging anyone in the room because I'm really tempted at times, many times rather, to run to man-made, finite, forensic, tangible things that I can lay a hand on rather than a God I cannot see. So let me ask you, when the heat comes, do you at times run to the well-meaning counsel of a friend, or do you run to the counsel of God? So God says through Isaiah, as he speaks to Hezekiah, he says, "Woe to you who take counsel. I see you running around everywhere, trying to get good advice, trying to get help, trying to get support. Woe to you who take counsel, but not from me." You're running around everywhere looking for man-made solutions, but you're not running to me. Another word that is interchangeable with the word counsel is comfort. I remember that when we're under pressure, we look for comfort that man can give. Maybe you're here and stuff's gone on in your life and God says you're looking for comfort everywhere else but in my presence, everywhere else but in me, everywhere else but in the word. You're looking for comfort in that secret bottle of pills you hide. When the heat comes, when the pressure comes, you're looking for comfort in those extra glasses of wine that maybe will hopefully help medicate some of the disappointment about how life's going. Come on, we're getting real quiet now. When stuff's going on in our lives, are you running to binge eating and binge watching or doom scrolling or a bit of pornography just to escape the reality? God is saying, I see you looking for counsel. I see you looking for comfort in everywhere else but me. And I think sometimes we go through all of these rigmaroles of looking for solutions and looking for answers in man-made stuff. And then we say silly things like, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. We get all busy and exhausted and we try all sorts of different things and none of it works. And we just say to our friends, well, I guess all we can do now is just talk to Jesus. I want to be part of a church where going to God is the first and only priority. That there is no other shadow option that we reach for. It shouldn't be our last resort. It should be the first instinct that we run to. And notice how the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30, Hezekiah walked down from Judah all the way to Egypt to look for a man-made solution. It takes effort to run around everywhere looking for solutions to a spiritual problem. We might as well channel our energies toward petitioning God. Come on, somebody. We might as well channel our efforts, our time, our focus on going to God rather than to everybody else and go, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. And I think sometimes we've got to remember that these shadows, these things that are here one day and gone the next, a shadow is essentially the same thing as a shade. Do you understand that? When the heat comes in the summer, how many of you look for shade, right? How many of you been on those random outdoor weddings at 41 degrees in the middle of some park somewhere and you're everywhere else but in the middle where you should be sitting because you're hiding under a tree? You're looking for shade, right? So a shade exists because a large object like a beach umbrella or a tree or a building stands in the way of the hot sun and our burning skin. Do you understand that, right? So a shade is essentially a shadow that is cast. And for as long as the sun or the heat source is where it is, and we are where we are, and that big object is where it is, there is relief. But here is the problem. So many of us hide under the shadow of a beach umbrella and then fall asleep on the beach towel of life. And then an hour and a half later, what happens? For all you fair-skinned people, you wake up. And all your body parts beneath your thighs look like a freshly cooked crayfish. Because shadows are temporary. Shadows are temporary. They're not permanent. No wonder God says, don't put your trust in the temporary shadow of Egypt, the temporary shadow of a man-made solution, the temporary shadow of well-meaning advice from men. The problem with shadows is that it is only a temporary darkened outline of a real thing. So let me submit to you today that when you're under a spiritual attack, when the enemy comes like a flood, when the storm brews against your life, when the heat is on your marriage, when the heat is on your family, when the stuff going on in your body, when the enemy comes to devour your finances, when your health is under assault, don't you be fooled that there is an answer in Egypt. It's just a shadow. Come on, somebody. Don't you be fooled in reaching for something that looks like a temporary relief and thinking that this is going to be the spiritual answer. It's not found in Google. It's not found in ChatGPT. It's not found in social media influencers. It's not even found in a nice pastoral care meal delivered to your house. All those things are good, but it's not God. They're just a shadow. We need to discern between what is temporary relief and what is real breakthrough. And I want to suggest to you, when it comes to issues in life, real spiritual attack, there is no other name but the name of Jesus that we should be running to. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. And I think the issue sometimes is that as Christians, we just rather settle for man-made help that we can see, rather than trust the God we can't see for divine help. It's interesting, isn't it, that out of all of the nations that Hezekiah and Hosea before him were reaching for, they reached out for help from Egypt. Egypt. If you know a bit of Bible history, Egypt, y'all. Just 700 years before that, the Egyptians subjugated and oppressed God's people for 450 years. 700 years later, Hezekiah, under attack, goes back and looks for help from the very nation that oppressed his people. Why? Because I think sometimes when we're under pressure, we reach for the familiarity of an old trauma to pacify us. Reach for the familiarity of an old pain. Reach for the familiarity of the very thing God wants to deliver us from. We reach back to that old trauma bonding, the things that are not good for us. It's not good for us. And it's a familiarity bias, you know, like because it's familiar, we think it's good and we forget all the bad things, the very things that God delivered us from. We see this actually happening, like I said before, 700 years before when God first delivered the nation of Israel out of the Egyptian subjugation and slavery. And the first sign of hunger, read this, Numbers 11 verse 4, in the wilderness, this is what happens. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So they were really hungry. So the children of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" This is the familiarity bias. We remember not the whips that beat us, but we remember the fish which we ate freely. Familiarity bias. They weren't free at all. Come on. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic, clearly some Asians mixed in there as well as the Israelites. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna. There's nothing at all except this. That's God's provision. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. They reach for a familiar pain. I want to say this to somebody. I feel this is prophetic. Just because something feels familiar doesn't mean God's in it. Just because there is a thing you keep reaching for, it feels familiar, you know it well, it doesn't mean God's in it. Just because you've seen it being done by somebody else, it doesn't mean that that's the way God wants you to do it now. Just because you've seen that method work by a mentor, it doesn't mean that God wants that for your life now. Just because it worked for you last season, doesn't mean God's going to want it to work for you in this season. But when the pressure comes, I can see why we reach for it, because familiarity is comfortable. See, when we're under pressure, when we're under attack, when we're going through an adverse circumstance in life, the last thing we want to do is do something even more uncomfortable like trusting in God. We don't want to deal in the mystery of uncertain outcomes, having to trust you, God, having to put my life into your hands. We want to reach for what is familiar, what we can control, what is tangible, what is finite. And familiarity is comfortable. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded that what seems familiar might just be a shadow. Just because something feels familiar doesn't mean God's in it. Doesn't mean that's what God wants for you now. We're going to parachute back into Numbers chapter 20. And we spoke about Moses earlier in my sermon. And Moses was the man of God that led God's people out of slavery about 650, 700 years before this Hezekiah account that we've been reading about. And we come upon Numbers chapter 20, and it's towards the tail end of a 40-year period of Moses leading God's people through the wilderness era. So it's towards the end of the 40-year period. We know that it's towards the end, but they didn't, right? It could have been another 100 years. They didn't know that. We read it in retrospect. And we come upon this place called Kadesh, where God's led his people, and when they get to Kadesh, there is no water there. Moses himself was under significant pressure. His sister Miriam had just died. He was probably just grieving. The people were now really tired, quite weary of his leadership. 40 years, they've been taking direction from Moses, not going anywhere fast. When they get to Kadesh, the worst thing could possibly happen. Like, you may imagine being a leader. For those of you that are leaders, you lead people somewhere and you get there, it's not how you thought it would work out. There's no water there. Do you know what I mean? No wonder people were complaining. So when they get there, we pick up the account in Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. And when the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod or the staff, the stick, you and your brother Aaron gathered the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield or pour out water, gush out water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and then Moses lifted his hand, struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the animals drank. If you look at that, seems like a good outcome, a good day's work, isn't it? God really blessed the nation, water gushed out, livestock drank. It was a problem that seemed to have been solved by Moses. But notice what God asked Moses to do. He said, Moses, I want you to gather the congregation here at Kadesh. And I want you to speak to the rock. The Bible says Moses didn't speak to the rock. He struck it twice. Water gushed out. Moses struck the rock twice and water gushed out. It looks like he got a good outcome. But because he actually didn't do what God asked him to do, even though the people were hydrated, because God was merciful, it actually disqualified him from leading God's people into the promised land. I'll tell you why he struck the rock. Because 40 years before that, when they first got into the wilderness, they got to a place called Rephidim. At Rephidim, it was their first complaint of thirst. Look it up yourself. At that place of Rephidim, Moses was still just a new leader in many ways, leading God's people. They'd not gone into the wilderness. They'd not gone into the promised land. They were here at the beginning of their wilderness era. God said, I see the thirst of my people. Moses, strike the rock. Water flowed out. Moses thought, I'm the man. Hallelujah. So Moses thought, this shepherd staffing. It's a pretty good method, isn't it? I strike the rock, water comes out. Also, do you remember? This thing is amazing. Caven, this thing's amazing. This was the very rod I threw down. It turned into a snake. Pharaoh freaked out. My people got set free. This was the very stick I stood up in front of the people, lifted it up. The seas parted, Matt Hennigan. It's awesome, this stick. And this is the very stick God told me to strike the rock where we were at Rephidim. So 40 years later, God doesn't want him to strike the rock. God wants him to speak to it. You guys are not getting this. How often do we put our trust in what was a God method back then, but it's just a shadow now? God says, speak to the rock, Moses, at Kadesh. It is a new day. You're about to go into the promised land. And I understand why Moses didn't want to speak to the rock. Because he was a stutterer. Yeah. Could it be that what God wants for you now when you turn to him could be so unfamiliar that it'll actually expose some of your insecurities? And that's why we put our trust in old methods and not the God in the method. And I'm here to remind someone, maybe it's what worked for you in the old season of you walking with Jesus. He's wanting to take you into a new season now. And that might just be a shadow today of what worked back then. I remember this being such a big deal for me. Because in the first 6-7 years of our church, the only leadership I knew was to lead people with a guitar strapped around my neck. I didn't know how to hold a microphone, walk around and yell at people. This is a new thing. But that was, for that season, God reminded me, that's a shadow. What I have for you now needs you to speak to rocks, not strike it. And I can imagine why Moses, he would have exposed his vulnerability. I'm a stutterer. I don't want to speak to the rock. I don't know how to do it. Striking the rock is how I know how to do it. What if I speak to the rock and water doesn't come gushing out? It just comes out like tiny little spurts, like an old man trying to pee. I'm going to be really embarrassed. Hey, I'm 50 years old. I'm nearly there, guys. I'm nearly there. It's okay for me to make that joke. Everyone was watching. Everyone was watching. And God is saying, speak to the rock, Moses. But he reached for what was familiar. Just because it was God back then doesn't mean it's God now. Just because you used to pray that certain way, that was like, Mom, that's how I always pray. Brother, always start with this line. Heavenly Father, who art in heaven. That's how it worked for me back then. Come on. What was a revelation back then could be religion now. What could be divinely inspired back then is human striving now. What could have been a God instruction back then? It's your own shadow now. Stop putting your trust in shadows. Because what God has for you in this coming season, Nations Church, is something that's going to require you to stop putting your trust in shadows and put your trust in God one more time. If you believe that, say amen. Come on. Hezekiah was not the only one to do this. We see this right throughout Scripture of man putting trust in man's effort when it was a God idea in the first place. Think of Abraham, Genesis chapter 16. You can read for it yourself. God says to this old guy, you're going to be the father of many nations. He thought, God, I'm old. Have you seen her? She's old. And some years lapse after the promise, Abraham thinks, hold up. I think I'm going to need to help God along. So he reached for a shadow. He sleeps with an Egyptian. Oh man, there's something in that, isn't it? Handmaiden. And they birth an Ishmael. See, there are very few things that would cause good, godly Christians to reach for shadows than time pressure. When you feel like you're running out of time. It's a promise of God, but I'm getting older. That came a long time ago, that prophetic word. Time's running out. Come on. We reach for shadows. We see an account in 1 Samuel chapter 28 of a guy by the name of Saul. He was a king. You remember King Saul? He was anointed by God because people needed a king. And he started off so well. He was a godly man. He prophesied with a company of prophets. We see him in 1 Samuel chapter 28 where Samuel, the prophet, and now died. So Samuel was Saul's sounding board. He was the guy that he would go to if he needed advice or counsel, and Samuel would hear from God as a prophet and speak it into Saul. Now that Samuel had died, Saul didn't know how to go to God himself. So the Philistines were encamped at Shunem. He asked God for an answer of what to do next. God actually made him wait because God wanted to watch and see his patience. But he was impatient, so he consulted a medium. He consulted a witch doctor at Endor. Can I just say this to somebody today? If you're waiting on God for something and God seems silent, don't you dare start reading horoscopes and tarot. Stop it. That's a shadow. Come on, somebody. I just need to say it. God's not in that stuff. If you're waiting on God for a word, keep waiting on God for a word. There's a reason why he's holding out, because he wants to draw you in to a place of just entwining yourself with God. We see Peter in the Gospels, like he's been walking with Jesus 3 years. He gets to the Garden of Gethsemane. The soldiers come and arrest Jesus, right? This guy is a fisherman. He knows the only way that he knows how to deal with crisis is physically. He pulls out a sword and chops the ear off a centurion's ear gets chopped off. Peter goes, no, let him go. Whack. Psh, ah! Dramatic. Jesus reaches over and heals the ear. Isn't that what so many of us do in terms of the way we react and respond to difficult things? Oh, she has a go at me like that. I'll fly off the handle because it'll scare her, put her in a place. Or if the kids play up, oh, I know what to do. I'm just going to yell at them because that's what, they were scared of me when I did that when they're 3 and 4. But now they're 17 and 19 and they hate you for it. Chop the ear off. Shadows. Shadows. Let's become men and women that don't put our trust in shadows. And in every difficult, trying, adverse circumstance, let's let this be the posture that God finds us in. Don't trust in shadows. This is helpful to you guys. Don't trust in shadows. I reckon when we're under adverse circumstances, when we don't know what to do, we usually just do what we know to do. When we don't know what to do, we usually just do what we know to do. And what we know to do is often just a shadow. Very few of us want to take that step and walk in the uncertainty of petitioning God, inquiring of Him, what do we do next? And I think under pressure, when we reach for shadows, it's actually a revealer of how intimate we are with God. Shannon, come help me. I'm going to make Shannon God for a minute. Give Shannon a big hand. Just for a minute, Shannon. See, God's always walking. He's always moving, right? If I, in any given life circumstance, want to know what God is saying, how many of you know I need to walk next to Him? I need to walk right up close to Him so that when life comes and hits me with things, I'm actually within proximity. I'm within range of hearing His voice. But here's what so many of us Christians do. This is God, and we're like busy doing everything else. Oh, we're over here with Netflix, and we're over here driving kids to sport they'll never play professionally, and then we're over here, we're in that little business over there, and then we're busy doing that, and we're going camping here, and we're recreating over there, and when life hits us, where are you, God? Why am I not hearing you? Where are you? And then we can only conclude, surely God can't be real. That's our only conclusion, right? But the only way for us to not trust in shadows is to walk closely with them in intimacy. And for some of us, we're real planners, so we walk ahead of God. I've got stuff going on. I've got to plan my future. I've got to do this. This is my best Karen walk. You know what I mean? Like, I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Bossing that person around. I'm being a boss person over here. Doing that. Sorting myself out. Investing there. Fantastic. And then when life comes, we can't hear God. We can only conclude that God's not real. Again, when the enemy comes, this is where we want to be found. This is where we want to be found. This is where we want to be found. For the rest of us, God's moving. But because of fear, because of tradition, because of what we know, which we're here, we're not, this is what we know. So easy for what was revelation to now become religion. We're stuck here. This is how we do it. This is how we pray. This is how we deal with conflict. But that's not how God wants us to walk either. We're called to be a prophetic people, y'all. Come on. We're called to walk in intimacy with God so that when the pressure comes, we inquire of Him, not running ahead, not running behind, not running around everywhere. Give Shannon a big hand. You made a great God there, Shannon. I hope that analogy stays in your mind, right? Psalms 37 says this. The steps of a good man are ordered or in step with, in rhythm with, aligned with the Lord, and He delights in His way. And so one easy way to stop being a good or a godly man or woman is to have your steps ordered by shadows of Egypt. That's one way to stop being a good man or a good woman, is to allow your steps to be ordered by all sorts of different things. And here's the thing about walking anywhere but where God is that suddenly your world is open up to options. You guys are getting real quiet. Come on. Open up to options. Suddenly you're everywhere but hearing the voice of God. Like Shannon, God was walking up and down. I was running around everywhere. Suddenly you got that podcast over there, that YouTube influencer over there. You know what I mean? You got that voice over there. You got that temptation over there. You got that thing over there. God understands we live in the 21st century. He's not against you having options. He's just against you making Him optional. You're always going to have options, but don't make Him optional. Don't make the house of God optional. Don't make prayer optional. Don't make fellowship optional. Don't make reading the word optional. You got lots of options. I get it. I've got lots of options, but don't make God optional. We live in a time in human history where we've got more options. We've got options than our options. Our generation invented the drop-down box. We can choose your options. Customize everything. We got options. All the voices you want. Or you can customize. In fact, you can even bespoke your own Christian experience. However you like it. Choose from the preacher you want, the podcast you want, etc., etc. So, you know, you come to church. I'm looking for not Pentecostal worship, but more charismatic worship with Presbyterian teaching, with... Do you know what I mean? With friendly but not imposing welcoming. Coffee with alternative milk solutions only. That'd be really good. And hopefully a pastor can't be in his 30s, can't be in his 40s, can't be in his 60s either because that's too old. 52 would be great. We live in the most therapeutic age in all of human history. You can have therapy for anything. Whatever is wrong with you, whatever's wrong with your cat, you can have therapy for your cat. Whatever's wrong with the dog, you can have therapy with the dog. But they're all shadows. Friend, when you are at a most confused time in your life, when you've got stuff going on, when you don't know what to do, where to go, don't trust in shadows. Trust in Almighty God. See, even the best drivers seem like terrible drivers when they don't know where they go. How many of you ever, like, you're driving and, like, the car in front of you is annoyingly stop starting, like going really, like, they're going, but they're slowing down a bit, not really indicating. Like, your first thought is Asian. It's not always. Sometimes not. Jesus help. It's not always Asian. It's usually because they don't know where to go. They don't know which turn, right? They don't know, like, should I stop? Is this the street? Is that the house number? They're looking, right? Even the best drivers. Stop it, you guys, so mean. But when you're confused, you got to find yourself not trusting in shadows, but walking in step in intimacy with a God who says, I'm here. Why do you take counsel from Egypt when you have me? Why do you put your trust in horses and chariots when I died and rose again for you? Come on, I need a resounding amen from church tonight, this morning. Come on, musos, you can join me. I'm going to land this. You guys okay? Apologize to all the Asian bad drivers out there. Most of us are good. If you keep reading in 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings of the story of Hezekiah, he tries to get Egypt's help, shores up some help, but the Assyrians still attack. Even then, he doesn't turn to God. He thinks to himself, man, I gotta deal with this. Like, this is looking really bad. The Assyrians are absolutely gonna wipe us out. And so what he does is so tragic. Good king, but the Bible says that he begins to strip gold and silver off of the doors of the temple that he has spent a whole lifetime reinstating to beautify it for the glory of God. Remember, the king before him had defiled it all. Makes sense to you guys? He spent his whole life and he stripped all of it and offered to pay King Sennacherib of Assyria. Hey, don't attack us. Will you not attack us if I pay you or give you this gold? Sometimes when the heat is on, we're too quick to undo a lifetime of legacy in serving Jesus for a shadow solution. You can apply that how you want, but certainly in my world, I've been saddened at times of, and I'm not above it. I'm here. This word is convicting me too. I'm saddened by so many men and women of God who've forfeited a lifetime of spiritual gold and silver. When the heat came, when the pressure came, when the stress came, they made a poor decision. I just know that when God says, don't trust in shadows, He knows that the best version of you is one who is found in this posture, trusting Jesus. My submission to you today, Nations Church, Myrie, 11 a.m. service, is that come what may, whatever life throws at you, don't trust in shadows, trust in God. Can we give God a big shout of praise today?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.